and it's that balance between the two characters and the two individuals. You're going, this is your show. This is your ship. And go, okay. I got it. I used to have my own ship.
Slipped into character there for a second, I think. We've seen him in Battlestar Galactica, the Umbrella Academy, and the Man in the High Castle, and now you can watch him on the bridge of USS Discovery as Commander Rayner. Callum Keith Rennie, welcome to Trek Untold.
Thank you for having me.
So I got to ask you here, first question, you know, we've seen a few episodes now of the fifth season here, and I'm curious to know, have you been checking out any of the fan response on social media about your appearances so far?
A bit. Like I've gone, like reading reviews of certain episodes or some, not tons, but it seems positive what I've seen.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be like a weird thing, right? Because you're coming in now. This is essentially the last season of Discovery. You're the new kid on the block, and you've now got a short amount of time to kind of endear yourself to the fans. And your character, let's say, you know, of Commander Rayner, he's maybe not the best, maybe not the most endearing at first.
No, he's not. And I mean, that was some of the fun to play. Where I'm not sure if I want to be liked very much. I wasn't. Maybe I'm supposed to be hated. I wasn't sure. So it wasn't the trying to be liked wasn't part of it. And through the writing, because I didn't see where all of it was going all of the time. So you go, oh, it was written in that there's a warmth and a development as he goes. So I picked the right angle to come in at it.
I would definitely agree with that. And, you know, looking at it from kind of a modern Star Trek perspective, to get a little bit nerdy here for a second, Callum, you know, Admiral Vance a few seasons ago was kind of like the new jerk in Star Trek. Everybody loved to hate. And then Picard season three, we had Captain Shaw, who ultimately, you know, these are characters we all learned to love. And now Rayner, for lack of a better term, he's the latest dingus. Now it's kind of ruffling some feathers in Starfleet and frustrating some fans. But eventually you're going to make us fall in love with him. And we're already starting to get to that point. So, you know, what's it like for you to kind of play these heels? Do you enjoy playing a character like this who starts out this kind of one mean way and transforms into something else?
Well, I mean, it's not. Do I like it? It's yes. Well, because there's a journey for him. So it's nice to start in one place and get to another rather than be stuck in a spot. So he gets to grow through the episodes and the story. But to start off, much like coming into anything where you're the new kid in school and you don't know who you're going to get along with and who's going to be your ally, who's going to be in an enemy. So I came into the show with that, with a certain chip on my shoulder going, I don't know who I'm supposed to like or who I'm going to like, how the writing is going to play out. So it was keep your guard up, be as stoic as you can and see what happens and what develops. But start out this time.
He definitely has a real presence to him, and I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. But I want to back it up for a second, Callum, and I want to ask about how you booked the gig. So, you know, we know that Trek is very secretive about their audition process. So I'd love to hear a little bit about what your audition process was like and when you realized that this was actually a Star Trek job, if you didn't know that up front.
The process was they offered it to me.
Easy day on the job. All right, cool.
So that process, you know, I'm pretty good at offers. I usually don't blow those auditions. Sometimes I can get those right. It was presented as, and here's some material, maybe watch some episodes or seasons and see if this is something that's up your alley, if you'd consider it. And I did, because the first episode was full of action and adventure. And I got to, you know, I was a Starfleet commander. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that now, because you get to be not only a Starfleet captain, now commander, you also get to wear some fancy looking ears as a Kelleran. So I'd love to kind of talk about your wardrobe and that makeup. I mean, what is that makeup like? Have you done anything like that for previous work?
I haven't done prosthetics very much. I mean, I think I did Five People You Meet in Heaven. I think they aged me like to be 80. And so that was a long process, but it was really only for one day. The ears were a bit of creating the mold, going to Los Angeles and having them build a thing. And then every day was like trying to get the time down to get them on, which came down. Like it was pretty quick, but it became at time, you know, at times it became the type of glue and whatnot became an irritant. Sometimes it was painful. It was a thing. It was just like, and I wasn't used to sitting in a makeup chair for that long every morning and getting up that early. So there was issues about it that I hadn't really put into, I thought about, but I didn't really understand, like, you're there early.
I'm just curious to know, like, how much of your actual ears were exposed and how much was covered? I mean, could you actually hear anything?
I mean, that's the thing where I go, is this going to be weird to, no, all the hearing was fine and the whole ear is covered. Mm. So I have a couple of them.
Oh, very cool. All right. So kind of walk us through your first day on the set now. You're walking around with your ears all covered up and everything. You know, what's it like for you to walk through these enormous sets and just meet your fellow cast members who, you know, really the story here is that they've known each other for years. Like we said earlier, you're the new kid on the block. So what's it like for you to walk into this set? Is it a welcoming environment? Does it feel daunting to now be part of this massive universe? How do you take it all in?
Well, because there's the part where you dissociate from reality and go, I don't, you know, because I don't know any, you know, it's odd because I mean, I was intimidated to put on the uniform. There was parts of it that worked for me and parts that didn't. There was getting toured around the bridge and the stuff, also intimidating because it just was. And you're coming into something that's established and it's been going for 4 years. And it's just like, try not to mess it up too bad. There's all that stuff, just the neurotic actor stuff that you do. You go, how do I fit this? How will I fit this world? All of it. It just every, you know, it's just it's part of the process. And go, and some of that, you go, what can I use and what can I lose to, you know, in participation with Rainer, where you're meeting people and going, how does this character get introduced? How do you fit? How do you not fit? How does the uniform work? And it didn't work in some ways. And I needed all like things changed for my comfort or my move. Like I wanted to be able to move better. Yeah. So there's just things as you go, you're just picking up and going, yeah, but it was tough. I can't easy entrance.
Now, we started to kind of talk about this a few moments ago. And I want to dig a little bit deeper here about who the character of Rainer is. I'm curious to know, like, what was your view of this character? I don't know if you had a chance to like look at the entire story arc of where he was going to go. And obviously we're only going up to episode 4 here. But you know, as far as who you think the character was, and did you draw like any real life inspiration for who this person was?
Well, you're coming into a show with, he commanded a ship for 30 years and he's gotten demoted. You're coming in with an amount of experience as an actor and you're going, okay, I'm coming on to this thing with this amount. And you're going to, so you're trying to find things that you go, okay, what you're, and I'll always come into things going, you know, what would work better. You know how I do it. So you're just finding the places of your one zone, stepping on toes or intrusions or suggestions, let's say, of how it works for you. So coming in, like, and I didn't get the, like, I think I was told, I think Michelle told me the arc of the character, but I only had the one script to go on. So each one came out, it was new to me. And you're playing within that and going, okay, that's what's happening now.
You know, the kind of interesting thing we have too is the characters of Burnham and Rainer. They do kind of share a similar story, just almost at different sides of a perspective here, which makes for a really interesting on-screen relationship. And you know, I wonder, again, going back to like real life things, essentially this character you're playing is a veteran of things. He knows this world. He's been around, and Burnham is this hotshot. Now, you know, she's the one in charge. It's like a mentoring role, essentially, but this is a person who doesn't want to be mentored. Yeah. And that feels like it's kind of a real life thing too, as well.
Yes. Cause he's coming in with, yes, you want to fit in and you don't. And it's hard. And it's that balance between the two characters and the two individuals. You're going, this is your show. This is your ship. And go, okay. I used to have my own ship.
Slipped into character there for a second, I think.
And so those things were fun to play. And I think the show very much needed that antagonism or somebody who's maybe not going to hear it all the way that they're supposed to. And go, I don't get it. Old school.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Now, episode 4, Face the Strange. This is a real, to quote another franchise, a very timey-wimey episode. And I'm curious, as a performer, is that jarring for you to do? Because this is an episode where sets have to change pretty dramatically. Outfits have to change for the other actors around you. It feels like they can kind of make production draw on or drag on a little bit longer. Was this something that kind of like presents a unique set of challenges for an actor?
I mean, some of the jumping around in the science talk was a lot for me. Like, I'm not that guy. Because it was pretty much a two-hander for me and Burnham in 504. That was fun and easy to play in. And Lee was such a great director of action and the fun of it, and get you into the moment, that all of that stuff was covered. And there was, because of the jumps in, and some of the history I didn't know, and why were we back there and all of that, and just leaned into, I don't know. And what? Because I didn't get it. Because you need someone not to get it. I mean, I watched it again last night, and it was just like, I thought it was an amazing episode with so much stuff going on, and just like, wow. And some really beautiful moments, and a development of Rainer in that world. And the show was shown in such a great light. It's very good.
And of the four I've seen so far, I think this is my favorite for the reasons you just mentioned, just really seeing the development and kind of throwing us back here. But you did mention the techno babble, or in some cases people call it trekno babble. Has that been difficult for you to wrap your head around sometimes?
Some of the dialogue itself is, it's like tough for me. Like, it's just not my jam. And I worked on it a lot so I could just say it and get it out. And you're doing stuff with imaginary screens that aren't there, which, I'm not from that world, but I guess I am now. So all of that stuff was a learning part for me, where it's just like, I may kind of understand some of it, and a lot of it I don't. When Stamets is talking, I check out, because I just do, because there's so much information from another, that science stuff. And we didn't want to call it babble, but I don't know what he's talking about. old school. Now, what do we shoot at next? What do we get? He just wants that.
Now, you guys found out last March that this was going to ultimately be the final season of Discovery, which you didn't know walking into this show here. And to kind of paraphrase from Deep Space Nine for a moment here, since this is the end of the series as a whole, without giving away spoilers, let's just talk about you personally now. For you, Callum, Keith, Rennie, what did you leave behind on Discovery after you guys wrapped? And what did you take away with you from this experience?
What did I leave behind? It's funny because, one, it's a year and a half ago, or so. For me, it was a very hard season. It was very hard, because of just how it just was hard. I found it. I worked hard, and it's odd because I look at it and it seems pretty smooth. And I know how much effort I was putting in there. And by the end of it, I was like very so grateful that everyone had been so supportive, so kind, so generous to me, from directors, or executive producers, other actors. That was amazing. And I just went, can't wait to come back and be in it in a better way. Or for me, like, you just go, okay, now I see the landscape. I know what I'm into. And it was, so there was a, quite disappointed when I didn't get to go, because there's bits of stories that probably could have been tied up, some flashbacks of other times, some different things that could have been explored, but there would have been a comfortability in being there that I don't think I was able to find in the first season.
Well, I'm glad to hear that one of the things you did take away was a pair of ears. So that's really cool either way. And I really cannot wait to see how this season progresses. I'm loving your work on the show. And yeah, this has been awesome, Callum. Thank you so much for chatting today with us.
Thank you very much.
Trek Untold, the Star Trek podcast that goes beyond the stars, is powered by the Rageworks Podcast Network and affiliated with Nerd News Today.